Hello and welcome to the September 2009 edition of Hot Type Security Books in Audio, brought to you by CertSecurity.com and Addison Wesley. I'm Billy Hurley. As always, our Hot Type podcasts bring you free excerpts from recently published information security books, read by the authors themselves. Today's featured author is Ryan Trost. Ryan Trost is the Director of Security and the Data Privacy Officer at Comprehensive Health Services, where he oversees the organization's security and privacy decisions. Ryan is also the author of the book Practical Intrusion Analysis, Prevention and Detection for the 21st Century. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you.
Ryan, your title suggests a new way to approach intrusion detection. What has been the impractical way of approaching intrusion detection, and where is the innovation happening?
It's not so much a new way of approaching the topic, but an emphasis on expanding traditional IDS strategies to other facets of the network monitoring. For instance, NetFlow has historically been used as a accounting technology, but with great advances from LANCOPE and Arbor Networks, it's becoming a staple in the intrusion detection toolkit.
So what new threats are we seeing in today's landscape that that type of technology can particularly help to detect?
The botnets are becoming a huge Achilles heel for security analysts. While the command and control isn't a new technique, they're starting to use the social networking, which is freely available and very difficult to actually lock down. And again, NetFlow is playing a key role in this because where traditional signature analysis won't so much detect it, the NetFlow will actually monitor bandwidth spikes. So in the command and control, a lot of time these zombie computers are using specific intervals to call back to the master computer. So that will drive a spike in the bandwidth and raise some suspicions within the NetFlow technology.
You mentioned perhaps limitations because of signatures. What other limitations are there with today's intrusion detection type technologies?
The major limitations of the IDS still revolves around the amount of false positives that we're collecting. Unfortunately, a lot of times security analysts sometimes become numb to the alerts and will start to really disregard the alerts just to clear them off the board.
Ryan, what role should a web application firewall play in an intrusion defense strategy?
As web applications have and will remain mainstream to deliver information to a client, the WAF, the web application firewall, plays just an absolute critical role because it allows the security analysts to really lock down the protocols that are entering into or communicating with that application server.
Ryan, you got quite a big book here. So what's the one message you would want people to get from reading this book?
The one message is definitely don't limit your environment to a single intrusion detection mechanism. Expand your horizon and other techniques to provide somewhat of a layered approach.
So what would be part of this layered approach? What would be the different types of technologies you'd recommend?
The signature base is historically been kind of the core, the ISS Site Protector or the SourceFire Snort technologies are definitely the fundamentals. But start to look at some of the anomaly base, the statistical base in NetFlow, the geospatial intrusion detection, and then even converging the physical security with the logical security, which is a huge, huge topic that companies are really starting to address. For instance, when I log into the company, I'll basically swipe my badge, it'll allow me into the facility, and I'll start working. When I leave for the day, I'll basically swipe my badge as I egress, and the system at that point knows that I'm not at my desk. So if an IDS starts triggering alerts from my computer, it'll basically raise a lot of suspicion because I'm no longer at the workplace.
No, just curious, Ryan, is it a challenge given that many enterprises are cutting costs?
It is definitely an uphill battle. As you mentioned, the economic downturn has really, in some aspects, hit the security budgets. Other white papers that I read and reports that I read really kind of pinpoint that the security budget may or may not be hit. So I can only tell security practitioners to really use smart money. No longer can we kind of throw money out the window, potentially like we have in the past. You've got to basically pick and choose your battles, do cost-benefit analysis on literally every aspect of your security defense, and really be more efficient with your spending.
Great. Now, why don't you take us through a section of your book? I was thinking maybe the section Dynamics of a Professional Attack.
The dynamics of a professional attack really follow the five steps of the certified ethical hacker. The network reconnaissance being step one. Step two is the scanning, the collection of information. Step three is the gaining access, which is actually running the exploit. Step four, which is maintaining access, basically installing the rootkit. And step five is covering tracks and ultimately deleting any logs that would alert them to your presence. Okay, so step one, select a target for attack. For commercial victims, this is usually driven by revenge or financial gains. For government victims, this is usually driven by financial gains or political retribution. Step two, use an open internet access point, such as those at a coffee shop, a public library, or even your neighbor's unsecured wireless access point. That's very important because professional attackers never use their own computers to actually launch the exploits. They always have a for lack of a better term, a army of zombies at their control, in which case the zombies do all of their dirty work. The professional attacker at his computer, he ultimately just kind of controls the puppets, really. So step three, immediately after gaining control of the host machine and making it a zombie, the professional attacker will patch the entry point. This is typically you install a rootkit onto the system, which provides you a backdoor to access that system in the future. Step four, after the system is controlled, disconnect and not connect to it again for 2 to 3 weeks to ensure that a backup is made. Typically in a commercial environment, backups are run automatically on a scheduled basis, typically every night at the wee hours of the morning. By not accessing that computer for 2 to 3 weeks, it basically allows the backups to be run, in which case 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, you can use the rootkit that you installed to access that computer. If the company has found the exploit and has resolved the rootkit, you can then kind of revert to your original exploit, and more than likely it'll still be there. Step five, after the machine is fully compromised, repeat previous steps until the professional attacker has gained the number of zombies that they feel is sufficient for their attack. Step six, using the zombies, begin the network reconnaissance stage by performing a low and slow scan of the target. Scans are used to learn the general network topology of the perimeter devices and the services, applications, and ports that are enabled on each. This stage typically lasts between 2 to 4 weeks in order to avoid any red flags or attention. Step seven, at completion of the network and application reconnaissance and any necessary enumeration, analyze the results and narrow the possible vulnerabilities to evaluate the best attack vector to launch against the ultimate victim. Step eight, an additional layer of black hat obfuscation is performed to guard against monitoring activities by security analysts. That ultimately means that the true exploit will be camouflaged within an onslaught of false attacks. So in thinking, you have, let's say, four zombie computers performing the actual attack. Computer one will actually run the exploit. Computer two, three, and four will run false attacks against the computer systems, basically in a noisy port scan or something that will grab the attention of the security analyst away from the actual exploit. Okay, so step nine is to actually run the exploit from the zombie machine that most likely did not participate in any of the network reconnaissance phases. The reason for that being is as soon as any of those network reconnaissance is going to be in their log file. So behind the scenes, security analysts could be creating a list of potential threats. the professional attacker is going to use a zombie that has not been used for any of those network reconnaissance to ensure that they haven't been blacklisted or they haven't been suspected of any foul play, really. As soon as the exploit is successful, the attacker works quickly to escalate privileges, if needed, and erase system logs that might expose the attack. When the attack and the exploit actually runs, the attacker will inherit the privileges of the current user. So if the current user is just a regular employee with user privileges, the attacker will then have to try to escalate their privileges to, idealistically, a system administrator's privileges or kind of a super user privileges, in which case they can, at that point, start covering their tracks by erasing logs. Step 11, as with residential compromise, patch the entry point and create a backdoor point for re-entry. Again, that's if your ultimate target is a residential computer or even a commercial computer at that point. And then the final step, disconnect from the computer and do not re-enter for 2 to 3 weeks to make sure that a backup runs. So those are basically the steps of a professional attack. Now, the premise of the book is how to really identify that professional attack in the high volume of logs and intrusion detection alerts and NetFlow alerts by utilizing various methods of intrusion detection techniques. The company's got a better chance to actually identify a professional attack and hopefully at that point remediate or completely mitigate the attack altogether.
All right, thanks, Ryan. That was Ryan Trost, author of Practical Intrusion Analysis, Prevention and Detection for the 21st Century, published by Addison Wesley. To learn more and to check out our other information security podcasts, visit our podcast page at certsecurity.com/podcast. For an excerpt of Ryan Trost's book, you can also go to certsecurity.com/bookshelf. I'm Billy Hurley. Thanks for listening.